Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Last week we started a new subject, the believer's authority, and today we talk about part two of this. And the Bible text is from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give thee the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you want to understand what the Bible says, it's always good to read different translations, because every translation tries to give the proper meaning. Also, you can use commentaries. This is easier today because with the internet, because you can find almost everything and you can learn to understand the Bible better. Our opening verse has been translated different in many Bibles, where it says, I give the authority, they put power.
Mm-hmm.
The original Greek says authority. Authority is much stronger than power. In speaking about serpents and scorpions, Jesus is talking about the power of the devil, demons, evil spirits, and all his cohorts. We need to realize that we have got authority over them. Does the church have or need any less authority today than it did in the first century? It would be insane to think so. The value of our authority rests on the power that is behind this authority. God Himself is a power behind our authority. The devil and his forces are obliged to recognize our authority. And the believer who thoroughly understands that the power of God is backing him can exercise this authority and face the enemy fearlessly. What is authority? It is delegated power. A policeman who directs the traffic at the crossroads just raises his hand and the cars stop. These men don't have the physical power to stop the vehicles if the drivers choose not to stop. But they don't use their strength to stop the traffic. They are strong in the authority that is invested into them by their government. People recognize that authority and stop their cars. Blessed be God. There is authority that has been imparted into us by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Paul told believers to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means you can step out in front of the devil, hold up your hand and say, stop Satan, I tell you not to come any closer. Use your authority. A pastor had a dream. In his dream, it seemed that another minister and him were walking somewhere in the forest. As they were walking along, his friend jumped suddenly and exclaimed, look! He turned and saw two ferocious roaring lions coming towards them. The man started running, and the pastor started running with him. Then he stopped and told him, it's too far to go to a safety place. We would never escape those lions. With that, he stopped, he turned around, walked towards the lions. They came forward with him with prance and roaring. He told them, "I resist you in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, you can't hurt me." These lions, they came running like small cubs, sniffed around his ankles, and finally walked away without paying any more attention. In the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, things can happen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, crawls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resisting, standing firm in the faith." You may not meet a lion, but you find you face all kinds of trials. Use your authority in battling them. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Many people read these words and think the Lord is telling them to be strong in themselves. But the scriptures doesn't say a word about being strong in yourself. It says, be strong in the Lord. Some people say, "I don't know whether I can make it or not." Certainly you can make it. Don't ever think about it. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power and of his might, not your own might. Because it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." He that is in the world is Satan, the god of this world, and the head of principalities, powers, rulers, and the darkness of this world. But the power that is in you is greater than the power that is in the world. Because the power that is backing our authority is greater than that which backs our enemies. Matthew chapter 28:18 is another verse where the word authority should have been put instead of power. In the King James Version it says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And the New King James Version puts it right. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." When Christ ascended, he transferred this authority to the church. He is the head of the church and believers are the body. Christ's authority has to be extended through his body, which is here on earth. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, and we are seated with him. If you know anything about history, you know that those who sit at the right hand of the King have authority. We died with Christ and we were raised with him. This is not something God is going to do in the future. He has already done it. There was an overwhelming display of God's power in raising Jesus from the dead. And that this actually was the mightiest work God has done. The resurrection was opposed to Satan and his cohorts. However, his forces were confused and defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ, who arose, ascended, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers. Can you remember Colossians 2:15? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Christ, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his death, burial, and resurrection. There are some demonic powers we have to deal with, but thank God Jesus has defeated them. Other translations say he put them to naught or paralyzed them. In ancient times, victorious kings bringing back captives would have a parade making a show of them openly. Jesus did this with the devil. After he defeated him, he put him on display before three worlds: heaven, hell, and earth. God gave us this account in the Bible so we know what has happened. God wants us to know what happened in the death, burial, resurrection, and seating of Jesus. He wants us to know that he has set Christ far above all principalities, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that might be named. What is the source of our authority? The source of our authority is found in the resurrection and exalting of Christ by God. Notice in the 18th verse that the Holy Spirit through Paul prays that the eyes of Ephesians understanding prays that the eyes of the Ephesians understanding their spirits might be opened to these truths. He wanted all churches, all believers, to be enlightened. The truth of the authority of the believer is overlooked by many Christians. In fact, most Christians don't even know that the believer has authority. You will never understand the authority of the believer only by your intellect. You must get the spiritual revelation of it. You must believe it by faith. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In this first verse we read, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Here the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, through according to the working of the strength of his might when he raised him from the dead, and you, when you were dead. The same verb is used in Ephesians 1:20 that expresses the reviewing of Christ from the dead, expressed the reviving of his people in Ephesians 2:1. In other words, the act of God that raised Christ from the dead also raised his body. In the mind of God, when Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. Further, in the second chapter it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I say it again. Raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This passage deals with the conferring of God's authority, of Jesus' authority. Notice that the head, Christ, and the body, the church, were raised together at the same time. Furthermore, this authority was conferred not only upon the head, but also upon the body, because the head and the body are one.
Yes.
When you think of a person, you think of his head. You do not think of his head or his body, as they are one. Many churches believe that we were raised together with Christ, but they don't believe that we have been made to sit together with him. If part of this verse is true, the whole is true. If the church gets this revelation that we are the body of Christ, that we were raised up, we will do the works of God, of Christ. Until now we have been doing them limitedly. When we realize that the authority that belongs to Christ also belongs to the individual members of the body of Christ and is available to us, our lives will be revolutionized. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 14 and 27. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. In verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Thank God that we are the body of Christ. Then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 to 15, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? The believer is called righteousness, and the unbeliever is called unrighteousness. The believer is called light, and the unbeliever is called darkness. The believer is called Christ, and the unbeliever is called Belial. In 1 Corinthians 6, 17 it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You are one with Christ. You are in Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. All things have been put under our feet. The trouble with us is that we have preached a cross religion, not preached a throne religion.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean that people have thought they were supposed to remain at the cross. Some have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have backed up to the cross, have stayed there ever since. We need to come by the cross for salvation, but we don't need to remain there. Let's go to Pentecost, to the ascension, to the throne. The cross is actually a place of defeat, whereas resurrection is a place of triumph. When you preach the cross, you're preaching death, and you leave people in death. We all died, but we were raised with Christ. We are seated with Him. Positionally, that is where we are right now. We're seated with Christ in a place of authority in heavenly places. Many Christians know nothing about the authority of the believer. They really don't believe that we have any authority. They believe they're barely saved. They must go on through being dominated by Satan while living on the path that is barely safe. They magnify the devil more than they magnify God. We need to be delivered from this bondage of death and walk in the newness of life. We are not at the cross. We died with Christ, but He has raised us up together with Him. Glory to God. Learn how to take that, your place of authority. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. Exercising the power of the throne was committed to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Christ, with His resurrected physical body, is there in full possession of His rights, awaiting the Father's time when His enemies shall be made His footstools. Hebrews 1:13 says, "But to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" The elevation of Christ's people with Him into the heavenlies clearly points to the fact that we are to sit with Him, sharing not only His throne, but also His authority. That authority belongs to us.
Mm.
No wonder Paul said, writing to the Romans, "For if by one man offense spiritual death reigned by one, for much more which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm.
Several translations, including the Amplified Bible, say, "Reign as kings in life."
Mm-hmm.
We reign as kings in life. We have that authority. And we are just going to reign. Some people, they think that is happening only when we get to heaven. In heaven, we don't reign.
Mm-hmm.
We reign here on earth.
Hallelujah.
We are reigned as kings in life by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our authority. Whatever the king said was law.
Mm.
He was the last authority. If we are kings, we have the last authority.
Mm-hmm.
We partake of the authority that Christ's throne represents.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to maintain a balance. The Holy Spirit prayed through Paul that we all might have wisdom, understanding, authority over the demonic powers. And the problem They create through our constant manipulation of man's mind. It seems it's most difficult in a world for the church to stay balanced. Many have gone off balance. You can take any subject, including the authority of the believer, push it to the extreme and become harmful and ceases to be a blessing. When the storm was raging, Jesus commanded it to be still. We should not be amazed by this, because Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Someone will ask, what greater works are we going to do? Just let us do the works that Jesus did. And then we go on to the greater works. Jesus didn't say that only a selective few would do these works. He said, those who believe in him would. As we study what the Word of God teaches and educate our spirits about the authority of the believer, we will be able to walk in his great truth more and more.